So we'll pray. Let us pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come here to learn your word. You've given us such great rewards, Lord, and you've done things for us that we just can't comprehend. We pray today, Lord, that you will just speak to our hearts, that you will open our ears to hear your message, that you will speak to our heart, Lord, and give us an understanding as we go out into this lost world, that we may be the light that you call us to be. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate and to have communion, to be able to come here freely with all the just blessings that you bestow on us. We pray that for the church, we pray for the worship, we pray for Pastor Tony, that you will bless him and his message, and that the ears of the congregation will be ready to accept your word. We thank you, Father. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. We've been going through the book of Matthew on Sundays. Some of you have not been here for a while, and so now that you're back, I would encourage you to go through. We have the messages online. You can go through and listen to them as some people are doing them as a home study, as school study, but I would go through, listen to the messages online. They're on the Calvary Chapel website. And stay in the Word with us, and as we continue to go, when you're here on Sundays, we'll continue to hopefully be, when we're through with Matthew, we'll start a new book, but continue that throughout the week, so you guys can stay, informed on what's going on, and that you can grow also. So, we have a lot to cover today. There's a lot in here. I was going to try to cover through chapters 20, but I don't know if we'll get that far, because there's a lot going on. We've been giving overviews of the chapters before, and today we're kind of crunched on time. So the chapters before were about defilement, right? That's the last chapter we did. Defilement comes from within. It doesn't come from what you eat. It comes from how you speak, right? That's because Jesus, he judges our heart. And so remember that out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks, all right? And that's what we are learning in the chapters before. So today we're going to be in Matthew 16. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and we'll stop there, and then we'll start dissecting what he's teaching us. So chapter 16, verses 1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But when Jesus perceived it, he said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason amongst yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what's going on is now these Pharisees and Sadducees, these religious leaders, are starting to challenge Jesus more and more. All right, and we've seen it as we've been going through the book of Matthew. We see it time and time again. They're challenging him, and they're telling him, "We want to see a sign. Give us a sign." And it's really disheartening because these leaders, they've seen all these miraculous miracles, right? They've been a part of this. And what we learned in 14 and 15 and the other chapters is that these signs, right? And Jesus is telling the disciples, we went over, and he says, "You know, we fed all these people, right? We fed 4,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and some fish. Then they fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and some fish." So he did these miracles and all these miraculous things. So you would think that if you were there, you probably, if you didn't see it, you definitely would have heard about it, right? Living in a community, if we were here in this community right now and Jesus came through here and was healing people and their sickness and their infirmities, and were there really blessing people, you would hear about that. I'm sure we would all hear about it because this is a small town and word travels fast here. But these Sadducees and these religious leaders, they were still challenging him. They didn't really have an understanding or didn't want to have an understanding of who Jesus was. Instead of another miracle, Jesus points them to the sign of the times, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Does anyone remember what happened to Jonah? You remember? Jonah was swallowed by the great fish, right? He was out at sea. He didn't do what God had called him to do, and he kind of went the opposite direction, which is what a lot of us do. And he was on a boat. There was all this huge storm, and they threw Jonah overboard, right? And the storm stopped immediately. And then Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, right? We see it as, you know, a whale comes up and stuff, but the Bible actually says in Jonah, it says a great fish. So he's telling them, and Jonah was in the belly of this fish for 3 days. It's kind of it's what we see that relates to Jesus' resurrection, being dead for 3 days. So we'll dig in that a little bit more. But they're asking for these miracles. They're saying, no, show us a sign. But he's already been going out there, and Jesus has been, you know, doing miracles for people, healing people, and they still want more. So there's nothing that Jesus could do that would really turn these people to being like, wow, that is the Messiah. So 16:1, it says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And Jesus really, he rebukes them. He says that, from the beginning, so concerned with heavenly signs that they could not even interpret the signs of the times around them. These are religious leaders. These are people that studied the word. These are people that were supposed to have an understanding of the scriptures. And here, they're not even able to interpret it. Then he referred them to the same sign he gave them before in Matthew 12:39, just a couple chapters before as we went through the Bible here. As we study, it says 12:39. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. That's the sign that's going to come when he is crucified, and then he's buried, and then he resurrects, right? 3 days. That's a sign they're going to see. But they don't understand that right now at this time. They're not understanding what's going on. So they're continuing to ask for signs, and he pretty much rebukes them. And he says the Pharisees and Sadducees are really trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to trap him in, because that's what they've been doing. As we study the book of Matthew, right, the chapters before, they've been trying to trap him. They've been arguing with him. We saw in the other chapters that, you know, he healed someone on a Sabbath, and they were mad at him. But he says, you know, you don't even understand your own laws, and because of your laws, you cause people to sin. They're saying you follow man's law, right? And that's what we studied before. They weren't studying and following God's law. They were following man's law. And we see this where the heart, you know, as we see in our country right now, and Pastor Tony talked about it earlier. Now, I would recommend you get the sermon that he talked about you know, being in such a, right now with the elections going on, right? There's so much pride and animosity and hate. Like, this person's running for office, and this person's running for office, and they run these ads back to back, and you probably hear them on the radio. If you guys are watching TV, are you seeing all these political ads? And it says, you know, this person's great, and you know, this person, oh my gosh, they're evil. They're great, they're evil. Oh, they're good, they're evil, right? And you see that. One ad comes out, and it's, they're a good person, right?
They're bashing each other.
Exactly, and they're bashing each other, because they're trying to win a political power. They need a position, right? And that's kind of, we've been seeing this for a thousand years. It's nothing new. This is how it is. People want power. They want to be in a position where they can make decisions to guide wherever they feel that our country should go. And it's kind of the same thing with these Pharisees, right? These were the religious leaders of the day, and they didn't want to accept the fact that Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah. But we're going to learn as we go through who he really is. So in, let's see, chapter 2, he answers and said to them, when is it evening you say that the sky is red? As primitive, really as their methods were, they had long promised and long awaited a Messiah. And there, here he is, right? He's right in front of them, in the midst of them, and they refuse to acknowledge him. They're refusing who he is. And their whole religious life, that's what they were studying for, and that's where they were put into power. And they don't even understand that the word is now in the flesh in front of them, and they're just mocking him. And it tells us in at least 37 different times in the Old Testament, as we're going through the Old Testament over there, we start reading, there's prophecies about the coming of Jesus, right? There's prophecies over and over again about the fulfillment, about him coming. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they couldn't even predict, right, the weather, the physical signs of the sky, he's telling them, and they really had no spiritual discernment. So he's really rebuking them right here, and he scolds them, and he says, you don't even know the scriptures before you. These were supposed to be the people that, you know, we would look up to, right? So it's like if you guys are going to church, and there's a pastor that's not teaching the Word of God, that's not biblical, right? It's you probably want to look at maybe leaving that church, right? Here, I know I've been around, we've traveled all over the country and been to many churches, and our pastor here teaches the Word of God. If it, you know, he teaches the Word the way it's supposed to be taught, and he goes through line by line, verse by verse, and he teaches that. And that's what we need as Christians. We have to be aware of the false doctrines and the Pharisees and the Sadducees that are out there trying to misguide us and direct us. So we're seeing that this is a wicked generation. And why is he saying that? He's saying that because of their unbelief. They're adulterous because of their spiritual rejection of him. So it's kind of like a spiritual adultery. So in verse 4 here, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. So why do you think that's so important that Jesus, here he is, you know, these guys are arguing with him, but he says there's going to be no sign except the sign of Jonah. He just pretty much says, you're not going to get any sign, and he leaves. Why do you think that's important? He just says, that's it. I'm going away. Right? He leaves. Why do you think that that's important? Well, so in Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 14, he tells us that if people are unwilling to accept the good word, right? If you're out there and you're teaching and you're sharing the message of salvation and they aren't accepting it and people aren't accepting the salvation message, it says that you are to, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. Wipe your feet and go. You know, don't get into arguments with these people. They're unaccepting and they're unwilling to hear the word. They said, wipe your feet off and go, right? Leave the town. Share your gospel, though. Keep sharing the word of God. We're called to be the light in this lost world. So keep sharing the gospel with as many people as you can. And when those people, like we deal with this a lot, you'll deal with this with family members, right? Excuse me, you'll see family members that you want to share the gospel message to, and they're not willing to accept that message. So you just pray for that person, and you just move on. You don't need to force your opinion, force, you know, what you want upon that person. Just keep praying for them. And if in due time, hopefully they'll have an understanding. And they'll see Christ in you, they'll see Christ in your life, and they'll say, I want to have that in my life. And that's what we're called to do. But wipe your feet and move on. In Matthew, in 16:5, it says, and when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So they get there. The account in this verse is also recorded in Mark 8:13-21. And when his disciples had come to the other side, that is to the other side of the Galilee, Mark says that he entered into a ship again and departed to the other side, and they didn't really have sufficient bread, right? The conversation with the Pharisees and Sadducees had been on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. They crossed from the side, from that side over to the east side, and they had forgotten to take some bread. They had forgotten to lay in a sufficient supply. So we travel, we like to go, we're going to go do a baseball game this afternoon, right? And we will probably forget to pack food because that's how we're always on the go, but we'll eat out, right? Luckily, we get to eat out. Well, back in those days, they didn't have a McDonald's, right? They didn't have a Wendy's. They didn't have all these places you could stop and eat. So they're thinking, oh, shoot, we left and we didn't bring enough bread. And he's talking to us about bread. And we're going to see that's not what he was really talking about. He wasn't talking about us eating. He was talking about something else. So It's just nice that we do have all these amenities when we are running late and behind. But he's telling them that you need to take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's saying beware. The leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees is dangerous, right? It's a dangerous influence. And we see that in a lot of aspects in our lives. We see that in the aspect of politics. We see that in the aspect of education. We see that in the aspect of like Hollywood and stuff. There's a lot of evil and there's an influence. And they try to explain to you, if you don't think the way I think, if you don't believe what I believe, then what do? They ridicule you, right? And they curse you and they say all kinds of false, evil things about you. But he's saying, take heed to these Sadducees and these Pharisees and be aware of them. Be very aware of what's going on. And he reminded them of the fact that the Lord provided plenty of bread. So they didn't need the bread the Pharisees were offering. And so he's like, what are you guys thinking? We don't need bread, right? We're not talking about bread right here, about our physical eating. And he's saying pretty much in 8, but when Jesus proceeded, he said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason amongst yourselves because you have brought no bread? So this is what's really important. This is one of the parts of the passage that's really important to me, which was what I thought was something I needed to kind of study a little bit more on. But it says right here, you of little faith, why do you reason amongst yourselves because you have no bread? And what's interesting about this is that they're arguing amongst themselves, right? I was thinking, when they're all together, they're arguing amongst themselves, but Jesus is perceiving without hearing them because it states they reasoned amongst themselves. But so because Jesus, because of his omniscience, knowing what was going on, knowing their hearts and knowing their mind, he's able to say, hey, he knew their doubts. He knew what they were doubting. He knew their unbelief. And he knew their minds as well as their private reasoning with one another, because they're reasoning with each other, and he understands this. Oh, you of little faith, why reason amongst yourselves? And it's like there's like maybe like a forgetfulness. Maybe they were distressed because now they're getting hungry. I know what I get like when I get hungry. They call it hangry. There's some really funny commercials out there, right? When you get to the point of being so hungry, you get nasty. That's kind of how I am. And, you know, these guys are going, man, we're crossing over here. We don't really have adequate food. And Jesus is saying, no. Remember the loaves. I would encourage you, if you weren't here or weren't studying, go back a few chapters before in 14 and 15. And he's telling them here in verse 9, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? He's saying, do you guys not remember? You don't have to worry about not having any food. Do you not remember just a chapter before? I don't know the timeline on that. But they fed thousands and thousands of people. And when they were done, do you guys remember? They had fragments left over, right? That means they had baskets. We call it leftovers, right? When we go to a restaurant, we eat. They used to have it was called a doggy bag. It was a little lunch sack, and it had a little doggy bag on it, or doggy on it, and it said doggy bag, and you took your leftovers home. And so they fed all these people with nothing. Jesus did all these great miracles. They had food left over. And he's saying, you guys don't remember that. You know, that was just a short while ago. Have you forgotten what I've done already? So in verse 10, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took. So it happened 2 different times. He fed all these people, and each time they had loaves left over. And that's pretty important. Because we've got to remember that as Christians, that sometimes we're always like, oh, Lord, this didn't work out for me. Oh, this isn't what I wanted. And we look at ourselves and our situation, and we got a house to live in. We got a job. We got clothing. We got food. We got water. Right? We had a speaker today that came over from Africa. And she said the people there, they're extremely, extremely poor. And we are so blessed here. We got to realize that we have an abundance here in this country. And we should never forget what God has done for us as a nation and as people. So he's saying, we'll go to verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So now, he's not really rebuking them like he did some of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's just telling them, you know, how do you not understand? And then they're like, oh, now we get it. Now we understand. You're telling us about the doctrines of the Pharisees. So now they start understanding it's the teaching, the leaven, the sin from these Pharisees and Sadducees. So we as Christians, we really need to be aware of what's going on. And the doctrine of Pharisees and the Sadducees here is pretty much their teaching. And it's a hypocrisy. The two things are, they're linked. The most sinister influence of the Jewish leaders was a pragmatic doctrine that made room for hypocrisies. They were too concerned with externals and ceremonies and the way that they appeared to the public and all this, right? And so that's what they were preaching, and they were starting to challenge Jesus. And we went through this last 2 weeks ago. We went really into depth on that. But he's rebuking them for their hypocrisies again and again. And as Christians, we really need to understand the hypocrisies of the world, right? We see it every single day, and you as Christians need to be aware of it. But what is hypocrisy? Does anyone really have an understanding what hypocrisy or what a hypocrite is? Correct. So that's what a hypocrite or hypocrisy is, the practice of claiming to have a moral standard or belief to which one's own belief does not conform. So you go out, you tell people, man, you know what, you should go help the poor, and then you don't go do anything for the poor, right? It's like the pastor of the church, you know, going, you should read your Bible and you should spend time in prayer, and then him not being in prayer or reading his Bible. Right, but we know that he's in prayer and reading his Bible through his teachings, because you wouldn't be able to have the Lord speaking and the Spirit speaking through you and using him if he wasn't in the Word, right? So we see that just in his teaching, and we see that in what he does for the congregation. So you got to be really aware of that. Be really aware of what's in your surroundings and what's going on with you, and especially like on the Facebook and things. I've seen... we use the Facebook for our business. I don't really like to be on Facebook for anything else other than business, but you have to have a Facebook account to run your business account. So I post a lot of my business ads and my advertising, and I see these things. I'm like, oh, wow, what is that? And I look it up, and I'm like, man, that is completely 100% a lie. Like, it's not even truthful, but they package it up to where if I wasn't strong in the faith or if I didn't have a good upbringing on a few things, I might just buy right into that. Right? I might be like, oh, wow, yeah, wow, I understand. And it's so easy for us, because of the lies and the deceit, to really fall into things. But we got to get trapped into things, but you got to be careful. All right? That's why it's so important to come here on Sundays. And it's so important on Wednesday. We're doing the new basics training, the basics book, which is the basics of the Bible, the basics of what it means to be a Christian, the basics of our faith. And that's why it's so important to be here on Wednesdays. And I know that you have school and you got a million other things going on, but you need to find time of your week to get here on Wednesdays so you can go through the basics with us. So I think we got about 10 more minutes. All right, so let's change gears here. We're going to go to verses 13 and then 13 to 20. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should not tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So the coast of Caesarea Philippi, this was a town in the extreme north part of Galilee, near the source of the Jordan. And so he's asking them, in public opinion, you know, they knew that they kind of put him on a pedestal, identifying him with one of the prophets of the past, right? John the Baptist, which we read about not too long ago, about John the Baptist being beheaded. And Herod himself, he was kind of a victim of this particular superstition. In Matthew 14, 20, we see that. We know that he was held in a real high esteem as a prophet, maybe, by the people. Thou art the Christ, Simon Peter recognizes and acknowledges openly the Lord's deity. He may have been speaking for all the disciples, because we see in verse 20, he tells us, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So it would be, we would perceive it that they all understood that he was a Christ, but that Peter was saying, you know, without denying anything, that you are the Christ. So they said, that's what's so important right here. He's saying, who do you say I am? Not what people say I am, not what the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the people that are uneducated or maybe the people that are educated, but who do you say I am? Right? And that's what the question that we need to ask ourselves. Who is Jesus to us? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Christ? So that's what's so important. You got to have an understanding. As Christians, we need to understand that Jesus, right, is God manifested in the flesh, that he is the Christ. He was sent. He is here on the earth at that time, and he's fulfilling all of these prophets, right? All the things that were supposed to be fulfilled, he's there fulfilling them. And we got to understand that. We have to have an understanding as Christians that he is the Christ. So, I think, yeah, we got to finish up. So I really want you to understand who Jesus is, all right? I hope you guys all do. I hope you understand who he is. I hope you understand what he did for us. That's what's so great about communion, about Christ coming and dying for us and taking our place, because we deserve death, right? When I was younger, I'd sometimes be like, oh, that person deserved that, you know, and I'm so much better and I don't deserve those things, but I still deserve death. I still deserve punishment, but he took my place on the cross for me. And that's why it's so important when we do communion to understand where you are in your position with him, that he did this willingly. When we look at Jesus being crucified, he allowed them to crucify him. He did it out of his own will to be, you know, disciplined and saying, this is the will of the Father. And so we got to have an understanding of that. That's what he did for us. He died, he took our place. All right? Okay, we'll finish and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your message today. Just pray that we have ears to hear what you have spoken to us. And we pray that as we go out into this world, Lord, that we will be the lights that you call us to be, that we will be the ones that can decipher through what is being said and what is being taught. And we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for taking our place on the cross. We thank you also, Lord, for the new kids that are here today, Lord, and we pray that you will bless them and bless the rest of everyone that's here. Keep them safe, Lord. We praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.